So I wanted to speak a little bit about things related to Shavuos, things to think about going into Shavuos. The beginning relates a little bit to what the Rashiva actually said today, but I'll try to be more specific and try to develop it a little bit further. This Shabbos, Mirz Hashem, Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Sivan. And at the beginning of Sivan, you know, Tuesday Mirz Hashem will be Rosh Chodesh. And then you have the second day of Sivan, which is on Wednesday. And then you have the Shloshes Mei Hagbala, starting on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, leading up to Vav Sivan, which is Shavuos itself. So Beis Sivan, that middle day, is called Yom HaMiuchas. Yom HaMiuchas, the day of Yichus. Why is Beis Sivan called Yom HaMiuchas? So some people understand Yom HaMiuchas because it's this day that is surrounded by a lot of importance. Rosh Chodesh precedes it. The Shloshes Mei Hagbala come after it. And it's sort of in the middle. It doesn't really have as much chashivas itself, but it's miuchas. It has important things surrounding it, both before and after it. There are these very important days. Other people explain that Beis Sivan is called Yom HaMiuchas because in Parshas Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on Beis Sivan, Hashem told him, "Ve'atem tihiyu li mamlechas kohanim begoy kadosh." Moshe was supposed to go down and tell Klal Yisrael that they were going to become, through Kabbalah Satorah, mamlechas kohanim, a kingdom of priests, of nobles, the goy kadosh, a holy nation. And on Beis Sivan, if you will, the yichus of Klal Yisrael changed. As we didn't have that type of yichus beforehand, we were a simpler nation, we were a nation of slaves who had left Mitzrayim. And now on Beis Sivan, Hashem told Moshe to tell us that everything was going to change. Our Yichus was going to change forever. The Yichus of Klal Yisrael. It's the day, not that the day is a Yichus day, but this is the day where the Yichus of Klal Yisrael changed forever. We're going to become a Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. Rav Berkowitz mentioned today in the Shmuz, the story, the Gemara in Psachim, where Rav Yosef talks about the fact that he used to have a special piece of meat on Shavuos. Because if not for this day, Kama Yosef Tika Beshuka, there's all these different Yosefs, I would have been just like everybody else. And Rashi over there says, this day, what happened on this day that we got the Torah? So Rashi says, Shalamadati Torah, Vinisro Mamti. Right? I learned Torah and I was elevated. Right? That's the Nakuda, Lamadati Torah, that's not enough. Right? Vinisro Mamti, and I was elevated. And Rav Yosef understood that if not for the Torah that was Merome in him, he would have been like everybody else. He would have been like everybody else. And to appreciate the levels that we're talking about, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh talks about on this pasuk, "Vatem tihiyu li mamlechas kohanim begoy kadosh." The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, "What's the vatem? What's the vatem?" It was clear that Moshe was supposed to convey this to Klal Yisrael. What's the vatem? Who else could it have been? So he has a whole bunch of answers over there. If you saw last week in at the beginning of the Chukosai, he has 42 pshatim. Anim b'chukosai teilechu, 42 pshatim. So a lot of times he has a question, has a lot of answers. One of the answers he gives to Va'atem Tiyulim Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh, he says, like this, he says, there would have been a tzad, people would have thought that because of these high levels, Kohanim Begoy Kadosh, the Klal Yisrael is meant to attain, it's unattainable while we're alive. Like, do all these great things while you're alive, and then when you finally leave your body, La'achar Misa, you'll be able to approach these very high levels. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem wanted Moshe to tell us, no, Va'atem, you, currently, right now, you, in your bodies, you'll be able to attain these very high levels. You would have thought that's impossible. You would have had a tzad. That's not vatem. It's not for you in your current state. No, vatem. I'm talking about very high things. And the Bali Musar speak about the fact that part of what Hashem was doing in Har Sinai by speaking to all of us straight, all of us reach the level of Nevuah, is trying to help us understand what a human being is capable of achieving, how high a human being can go. By Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem spoke to all of us, raised the level of Nevuah, to speak to Hashem, to help us understand what we're capable of achieving. You know, we live in a world now where the secular culture, to the extent that you follow the secular culture, okay, if you don't, that's good. But to the extent that you follow the secular culture, you're inundated with messages all the time about how close we are to animals. We're just sort of elevated animals. That's all we are. There's nothing more to us. And Kabbalah Satorah is coming to negate that. Kabbalah Satorah raising us to the level of Nevuah is coming to say, we wholeheartedly reject the notion that all we are is animals. We're elevated people. We have the ability to rise to the level of Nevuah. And we embrace the Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah that Hashem gave us, because it enables us to achieve these levels. In one place, I think one place, you know, to think about this, or one last source, Klal Yisrael, at the end of Parashas Yisro, Klal Yisrael was all nervous that Hashem was speaking to us. We were nervous that we were going to die, right? We're hearing Hashem speaking. We thought we wouldn't be able to live through that. And Hashem tells Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael not to be nervous. He says, the reason why Hashem is speaking to you like this is Levavur Nasos Estan. He's coming to raise you up. A lot of different pshatim what that means, but Rashi says that it means that Hashem was speaking to us at Har Sinai. Hashem spoke to us directly to raise us up in the eyes of the Goyim, that the Goyim see us, and we should obviously see ourselves, as something totally different from the Goyim. Hashem spoke to us directly. We had a direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Nasos Estam. It elevates you for the remainder of time. The Goyim are supposed to appreciate that, and we for sure should appreciate that. So from a practical perspective, you know, what does this mean? We speak about these lofty ideals all the time. What does that mean? How do you translate that lemaisa? How are you supposed to be different as a result of that? So there's probably a lot of answers to that. But I thought of a couple of examples, perhaps, that could be helpful in terms of internalizing this. You talk about working on this, working on the fact that we want to be elevated, we want to be high, kohanim, kadosh, we want all of that. So, when you make the bracha in the morning, shalom asani goy, right, think about that. What does that mean, shalom asani goy? Right, we'll relate to that. Think about that for a moment. Think about what's going on with the goyim all over the world, the way they're running around, the way they live their lives. Not all of them. Of course, there are some goyim who live respectable lives. But many of the goyim who have no, if you don't have any connection to Torah, you have no concept of what Torah is, they're living lives that are so much lower than the lives that we're capable of living. Right? So to try to tap into that, every morning we make that bracha, shalom asani goy, well, what does that mean? Right? To try to tap into what the Torah enabled us to achieve, how we're able to elevate ourselves through that. Also, something that Rav Wolbe speaks about in a bunch of different places, maybe I mentioned a little bit this year, I don't think I ever spoke about it so explicitly, maybe I did, but the idea of the way that we think, what do we think about? Right? The Rebbe of mine once told a story about a person who lived far in a sort of far-off place and had a Bible, and he used to read his Bible all the time, he religiously read his Bible, and at a certain point, you know, came to a more civilized place and met a Jew, and got extremely excited when he met the Jew. I said, wow, you're one of the Israelites. I can't believe it. I read all about you guys. You're the chosen nation. Hashem, you know, Hashem, I don't know, God chose you. I never thought I would meet one of you. So first, already there you could stop. That's a tremendous mussar about what it means to be an Israelite and be the nation that was chosen by God. Well, we take it for granted. We don't think much about it. This person had been reading about us in the Bible all this time, bumped into a Jew and was taken aback. And then he said to him, you know, I always had in mind that if I ever met an Israelite, I was going to ask him the following question. You know, I'm a regular guy. When I walk around during the day, I'm walking outside, taking a walk somewhere, going to take care of what I have to take care of. What am I thinking about? I don't know. What I have for breakfast. You know, what I'm going to have for lunch. Some sort of annoyance that I had. Making sure I don't forget my shopping list. What a stream of consciousness. Whatever's going through my brain. But you know, in my readings through the Bible, I always thought to myself, those Israelites, they must have much more elevated thoughts. They were chosen by God. There's no way an Israelite walks around just stream of consciousness. What did I have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? You know, who annoyed me today? What am I buying in the store? Whatever. There's no Israelite. No way. What do you think about when you're walking around? So, for us to try to connect to this idea, Rav Wolbe speaks about this, in terms of elevating ourselves in our thoughts, trying to consciously, we want to talk about becoming Malach HaSkon and Mekoy Kadosh, a lot of different areas, but one area is to try to consciously, when you're walking around, you're taking a walk, you have to go to Geula, you have to walk, I take care of something, whatever you're doing, to try to think about, I don't know, pick a part in the sugi that you're learning that was difficult, that was hard, that was a hard thing, that was difficulty in the sugi, it wasn't clear to you. Or the stama, bikias, you have a shakla vitaria, run through the shakla vitaria in your head, right? You might realize things as you're doing that, that perhaps nuances in the sugi you didn't appreciate. Or certainly if it's an Ian Sugi that you're learning, there's always things, there's always loose ends. There's always things that don't seem to match up, don't perfectly work out. Think about it. Decide. I am going to think about loftier things right now. I'm not going to walk around looking at the street, interesting observation there, whatever. This stream of consciousness, nothingness, to try 5 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, right? If not, no one's accustomed to doing this. By the way, I don't do this all the time either. From time to time, I try to do it also. Right, 3 minutes a day, try to connect to something a little bit heavy, a little bit loftier. Certainly in the summertime, you know, we have many sionos when we walk outside, seeing what we shouldn't be seeing, thinking what we shouldn't be thinking. Right, the best way to protect yourself from all of that is to be having positive, holy thoughts. If you're having positive, holy thoughts, those Unpure thoughts can't coexist with the holy thoughts. But you have to be proactive about putting holy thoughts into your head. Right? It needs to mean that you're walking around, you're trying to think about an aspect in the sukkah, something in Musar, something in whatever. But something loftier than silliness, just stream of consciousness, just walking around, nothing, not thinking about nothing. You're an Israelite. You're Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. You can do so much better than that. And we walk around, we're thinking about nothingness. You end up seeing things, thinking things. We don't want to be seeing these things. We don't want to be thinking these things. The best way to protect yourself against that, and the way to elevate yourself in the process, is to try to have thoughts that are loftier thoughts, thoughts in learning. Think about, you're in a different universe than people who are on the light rail if you're thinking about a Tosvos. You're in a different universe than these people. You're working out a Rashba, you sit on the light rail, you're thinking in your head, what was Pshat, what was he thinking? You don't have to do things with your hands. You look super weird if you do that. Don't do that. Right? But keep your hands on the bar. Don't let go of the bar. Right? You don't have to get locked up for this. But to try to think about heavier things, all these people sitting on the train, God knows what they're thinking about, God knows what they're listening to, what are they looking at? You could do such holy things. I mean, a totally different universe just by how you decide to direct your thoughts. Rav Obi talks about this in the context of, like, what does it mean to be a Ben Torah? Like, to really be a Ben Torah means you're trying to connect the Torah all the time. All the time. You're walking around trying to think and learning. And if you have no experience at all doing this, seriously, 2 minutes, 3 minutes a day, try it while you're walking around. Think about something. If you're having difficulty in the sugya, something you didn't fully understand, I'm going to work through it. I'm going to think about it while I'm walking. Sometimes things happen while you're walking when you're not sitting in front of the text that would never happen when you're sitting there. And so not only did you get the sugya clearer, you know, it's also true that you are living in a totally different stratosphere than all the people around you. You're Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. That's when it comes to thoughts. When it comes to speech, you know, we spoke about this earlier in the year in a different context. But we mentioned this pasuk. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ish Lefi Mahalalo, right? A person according to praises. Many of the Mefarshim learn Ish Lefi Mahalalo means, you can tell a lot about a person by what people say about him, by what they praise him with. You make shidduch phone calls. If everybody's saying the same thing, maybe it's true. If they're not all saying the same thing, forget about it. If they're saying the same thing, maybe it's true. You can tell a lot about a person based on the way people are mahalil him, by what they praise him with. But we mentioned earlier, Rabbeinu Yonah talks about ish lefi mahalilo. You can tell so much about a person by what that person praises. What do you praise? What do you talk about? What do you get excited about? Right? I mean, at a certain point in your development, like, it shouldn't be true anymore that silly things are getting you excited. Silly things, like you're genuinely excited about things that are really, really silly. As you grow in your avodas Hashem, it should be true that the things if you strike up a conversation and the things that get you animated and worked up should no longer be silly things. Like, there should be things that relate to Torah, avodas Hashem, mido, seriousness, growth. Like, that's what I'm mahalo. That's what I get excited about. That's what I want to praise. That's what I connect to. Right, the idea of, you know, the way we speak, what we speak about, what topics of speech, what topics do we like to discuss, that's also, Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh is a product of how you talk. You know, so even a person who has a hard time, you know, with their thoughts, I can't think and learning, but at least when you speak, the speech should be elevated. What you talk about, how you talk, what words you use, right, to be very careful, your Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. And I was saying to someone yesterday, we had a, in the sensitivity, you know, we have this, this popped into my head now, I said it yesterday, somebody, but we had a professor in law school who was, he was in a contracts class, and they were talking about contracts that are unenforceable because they're so one-sided. So the court decides that, yeah, this person must have been duped, it's not, the contract is unenforceable. So one of the students in the class, in the context of discussing this, called it an SCREW me contract. That was the way, and that became like the phrase in the class. Everybody was using that phrase. And that night, the professor wrote an email to my wife. 140 people in the class. Right, this professor wrote an email to my wife, and she said, "You know, I noticed today that you looked a little bit troubled by the phrases we were using. Is that true?" So my wife wrote, like, it was like jarring, like, you can't talk like that, you can't talk like that. So my wife wrote back to her, yeah, like, it was, it's just my sensitivities, I wasn't comfortable to hear that word used over and over and over again. And she announced the next day, we're not going to talk like that anymore. It's a palatika story. Right? But I'm saying, by the time, like, in the way, like, it's a palatika thing. This woman was an amazing woman, she was extremely smart, and the first day of class, the 140 people, she knew everybody's name. First day of class. First day of class. Okay, so she was an extremely impressive lady, Christian lady, extremely impressive, extremely smart, but she was like attentive and noticed that, right? But that's where we should be holding. When we hear words like that, it's jarring to us. Like, we don't talk like that. How could you, like, it bothers me. I'm a monachas kohen and megoy kadosh. I don't want anything to do with that. Not only am I not going to speak like that, when I hear things like that, it's troubling. I don't want to be around people who speak like that. I don't want to hear things like that. It dulls my sensitivities. I want to be elevated. I want to be holy. I don't want to be around speech like that. That's something that's becoming from a mechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. And certainly, you know, certainly indeed, well, we've spoken about over the course of the Zman, especially now with Ali Shur, you know, getting extremely specific. We've only done one or two of his 16 sections of how to work on your midos, how to work on yourself, become a bigger person, constantly trying to refine yourself further and further and further, endless stories of the gedolim in these areas. And Stam, wanting that. We want that. We want to be Mamlachas Kohen and Megoy Kadosh in thought, in speech, in deed. We want to make sure that we're constantly moving ourselves forward in these areas. I remember just like, it's endless stories like this, but you know, the Chafetz Chaim famously, you know, had a store where he sold, basically like a makolet, where he sold things, and because his store, the price was a little bit better, and the quality was really good, people stopped going to the other stores in the city. You know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. It wasn't like he was masig bull. There were no halachic problems. But stop, people started coming to his store all the time. And then he, as a result of that, when he saw that's what was happening, he decided he's only going to open his store like an hour or two a day. So he figured that would be like a good way of evening things out. It's only open an hour or two a day, so people will have to shop during the other hours in the other stores. But Lamaisa, his store was so much better, people just concentrated their shopping during that hour or two. And still the other stores in the city, people weren't going to. So what did Chafetz Chaim do? Close the store. That was it. He was done. Right? The level of sensitivity of like, you're doing nothing wrong halachically, everything's fine, but I want to be Malachas Kohen V'Goy Kadosh, and I feel like I'm hurting other people's parnasa. He closed down his store. That's like, you know, way, way above what the halacha would have required. Or Stam, you know, brought down the Netziv. It wasn't even so long ago. The Netziv at the end of the 19th century, the Netziv would not give shir on a day where he didn't cry when he said Abba Rabba in the morning. When he said Abba Rabba before Shema, the story makes me cry, right? I don't cry during Abba Rabba, but the story would make me cry. That he would not say Shir if he didn't cry that morning during Abba Rabba. Like, we're talking about levels of sensitivity that we can't even fathom, right? If he didn't say, no Shir today. Oh, we know why. I say, like, we're talking about crazy levels of sensitivity that are so high, so elevated, such connection to Kedusha, and that's what we're pursuing. That's what we want to pursue. That's what we want our lives to revolve around that. So I think like a large part of what we're trying to do over the course of Shavuos, I'm giving just some examples of how to try to do these things, Shlomos Ani Goy for sure, and Stam, and thought, and speech, being more careful about the way we conduct ourselves, the way we carry ourselves in all different areas, and realizing that that's a large part of what Torah is. I think a large difficulty, I think, that our families have, understanding what it is that we're doing here. You know, what are you doing in yeshiva? You're studying these Aramaic texts. Like, what's this all about? Well, to the extent that all you're doing is studying Aramaic texts and it's not transforming you as a person, it's very hard to convey what you're trying to achieve. But to the extent that you're connecting to your Torah on a totally different level, and it's Lamadati Torah v'nisromamti. Without the v'nisromamti, you're missing the boat. It's v'nisromamti. I was elevated. Mamlechas Kohen and Megoy Kadosh. That's the objective. That's the purpose of everything that we're doing. So in talking to people on the outside, that's something people can relate to. It might be way beyond where they're holding, could be, right? But it's something people could relate to in terms of an objective that's lofty and something that's worthy of pursuing. Just people don't realize there's a connection between Torah and that. They think Torah is just sort of this esoteric study, Aramaic, difficult, there's not even any punctuation, what are you doing, right? If you can convey to people, first of all, convey to yourself and live that way, and then convey to other people, no. This is a process of perfecting myself. Gemara is just part of that. It's true. It's the lion's share of how we spend our time. It's true. But to the extent that you connect properly to what the Torah is trying to effect in you as a person, so you become a completely different person. That's the objective. That's what we're trying to do all the time. The Torah, you know, Rav Wolbe speaks about the idea that when you speak about anything in the world and you try to understand the value of that thing. So when it comes to all Dvarim Gashmiyim, so the value can be expressed monetarily. You know, there's a price. Or if you provide a service for people, you charge for your time. And to the extent that that service is valuable, you charge more for your time. How do you express the value of something that's ruchni? How do you do that? There's no price for it. I mean, I guess if you buy a tefillin, you could buy a very expensive tefillin, right? But if we're talking something ruchni, right? How do you express value for ruchnius? So Rav Volbi develops this idea in other sections that we haven't seen yet, that kavod is a manifestation of ruchni value. The more kavod you have, the more kavod you have for Torah, the more kavod you have for a mitzvah, the more kavod you have for ruchnius, that shows the value that it has in your eyes. So part of what we're trying to do over the course of Shua is, as we try to connect to everything that we're doing in Torah and Ruchnius and Mitzvahs and all that, is to try to develop even a greater sense of kavod for everything that we're doing. Which means, in all areas of the way we connect to our Torah, the way we dress when we're learning, how we behave when we're learning, you know, to what extent are we careful to make sure that our conversation in the Beis Medrash is appropriate? What do we talk about? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we conduct ourselves when we're learning, when we're doing a mitzvah? How do we give kavod, you know, to Talmidei Chachamim, you know, to big people? How do we give kavod to the Torah, right? To the extent that we connect to the fact that the Torah is our key to elevating ourselves, becoming Mamlechas Kohen and Megoy Kadosh, once you realize that, so not only does it mean that your approach to Torah, your approach to Avodah needs to change in terms of making sure that the Torah is penetrating you and changing you as an individual, but it also means now that you have a better understanding of how integral Torah is to everything that you do and to everything that you're trying to become, your Kavod HaTorah should increase significantly. Your Kavod HaTorah, the way you're Mechabed, you're learning, Mechabed, your Svarim, Talmidei Chachamim, everything that relates to mitzvot in general, Tefillah, Tefillin, Tzitzis, everything that relates to Kedusha, to have a greater sense of kavod for it. Because you appreciate the fact that this is what makes me into a Mamlechas Kohen and a Goy Kadosh. This is what it's all about. And to the extent that I really value that, Ruchni's value is expressed in degrees of kavod. The more kavod that you have, the more value you are affording to whatever the Ruchni's concept may be. So as we get closer to Shavuos and get closer to Kabbalah Satorah, these are the ideas I think that it behooves us to try to connect to. To try to connect to, constantly try striving to become more of a Mamlechas Kohanim, more of a Goy Kadosh, and once we connect to that idea, that should also generate on our parts a much greater kavod for everything that we're doing, kavod for the Torah, kavod for the Ruchnius, kavod for everything that relates to the growth that we're trying to pursue all the time. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.